and beginning with the first few verses in Matthew 7. As we go through the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, we come to maybe after John 3:16, the most memorized verse in the Bible. In fact, for a lot of people in the world, it's the only thing they know from anything that Jesus said. It's the first two words, if you have some translations, or maybe it's three words in other translations. In Greek, it's two words. Two words that say, judge not. Judge not, that you be not judged. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. You can turn there in your copy of God's Word. I would encourage you to do that because we'll look pretty carefully at this passage of Scripture together right now today. So a lot of people actually can quote these words. And what they say is, Jesus said, judge not. I mean, rock stars, famous actors, drug dealers, politicians, prostitutes, preachers, the average person on the street, they all can seem, it seems like everybody can quote these words of Jesus, judge not, and what they take that to mean is, stop judging me! Don't judge me! Jesus said not to judge me, why are you judging me? Nobody can judge me, except God! Well, this is a very, very well-known thing that Jesus said. And usually I'm very carefully in the habit of reminding you that it's not my job to hide you from what the Bible clearly means. It's my job is to show you what the Bible clearly means and what it clearly says, and then dare you to actually believe it and do it. That's what a pastor's for. It's not usually my job to say to you that what you think you're hearing Jesus say is not what Jesus meant. But this is one of those times. If you think what Jesus is saying is, don't ever judge anything or anyone, then you're clearly not paying attention to what Jesus said. You're not thinking clearly, and you're not following God's train of thought here. If you think that this means never judge anything or anyone. And I want to show you that, and I want to show you what it does mean, if I can, if the Lord will be gracious and help me to speak and say all of what I need to say and none of what I don't need to say. And if the Lord will help you to hear, to listen, to understand, and he will direct us in the way we should go, and I trust Him that He'll do that. So this is the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. We're about halfway through it. He has turned the corner from just talking to His disciples, which is what the first part of the Sermon on the Mount was all about, was Him talking to His disciples. And if you remember, it started off with just Him and His disciples, and then a crowd gathered around His disciples. And about halfway through, He sort of began talking to more than just His disciples and started talking to the crowd. Okay? And so here, He's talking to His disciples, and He's talking to the crowd. This is for you, no matter whether you call yourself a follower of Jesus today or not. This is for you. And so this is Matthew 7, and we'll read the first six verses. Let me ask you to stand if you're able to do that. We want to show our reverence, our respect for God's Word. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Father in heaven, you help us to know what Jesus is saying right here, and then help us to live by it every minute of our lives. We count ourselves to be followers of Jesus, and yet what we find to be true about ourselves every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of our lives, is that we fall short of that. We don't always think and speak and act like followers of Jesus ought to. So help us now. Come to us. Teach us. Help us to hear the words of our Lord Jesus and use them where we need to be corrected. Use these words to correct us. Where we need to be strengthened, use these words to strengthen us. Where we need to be comforted, use these words to comfort us. Although these are some of the challenging words, and there's many times not much comfort in them, and yet sometimes your Holy Spirit has this strange way of taking the most challenging words and bringing strong comfort into someone's heart with them. And so if that's what you will to do in people's hearts today, then you do that. But whatever it is that you desire to do, you do it. Whatever happens, don't let us simply ignore your word. Help us to engage with your word. Right now, I pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Well, what do you need to listen for? In this passage of Scripture, I want to show you. You can have a seat, brother. Thank you so much. Yep. In this passage of Scripture, you can find six clear pointers that Jesus gives to his disciples and to the listeners and to us. If we want to know. Okay, here's the first pointer that I think you have to see. All right? Number one, you can't not judge. Somebody who says that Jesus' words, judge not that you be not judged, someone who says that that's an absolute prohibition against all judging is just not thinking very clearly. In fact, if someone says to me, Pastor Chris, Jesus' words are an absolute prohibition against all judging, do you know what my response would be? I would say, is that your judgment? Did you get that? They had to think about it, evaluate it, and come to a conclusion. That's called judging. You can't even understand and respond to what Jesus says without making a judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you can't not judge. The basic logic of it. You can't even understand what Jesus is saying. You evaluate, does he mean this or does he mean that? If you choose that, you judge that that meaning was the correct one. In other words, you can't even think about what Jesus says without making a judgment. Jesus is not saying never make any judgment of any kind. Because that is, on the face of it, absurd. It's ridiculous. You have to judge. You can't avoid judging. Beyond that, he says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you use, you yourself will be judged. In other words, Jesus knows that you can't not judge. That's why he gives you the warning that you will be judged. So this whole thing that he says here is not a prohibition against all judging. It's a warning about judging too hastily. Let me give you a parallel, okay? Jesus' brother James, when he wrote his book, he said something to those who thought they wanted to be teachers of the Word of God. He said, do not many of you be teachers because... Do you remember what his reason was? Because teachers will be judged more strictly than others. In other words, he's not discouraging people from being teachers. He's just telling them, be careful before you accept for yourself the role of teaching. Because when you accept for yourself the role of teaching, you also accept a stricter judgment. That's what James did. Where did James learn to think and talk like that? Well, he learned it from his big brother Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. He's not saying never judge anything or anyone under any circumstances. He's saying be very careful how you judge, because how you judge is how you will be judged. Not a prohibition, instead a warning. Does that make sense? Am I undermining what Jesus said, or am I explaining what Jesus said? Explaining it. Okay? I would never ask you to try and redefine what Jesus said, or ignore it, or not care about it, or discount it, or undermine it, or anything like that. I want you to hear everything Jesus says. I want you to hear it accurately, and then I want you to devote yourself with all of your life and all of your might to doing what Jesus says, because we're His followers. We're Christians. So, pointer number one, you can't not judge. Here's a second pointer. Jesus, instead of not or telling us never to judge, actually what He's doing here is He's telling us how to judge. The right way to judge. And I'll show you what I mean. When He says, why are you looking at the speck that is in your brother's eye when there's a log hanging out of your own eye? Now, when He says speck, He means speck of sawdust, because He's a carpenter, right? So somebody's got some little speck of sawdust in their eye. They need someone to help them get it out of their eye, and sometimes people don't even know that it's in their eye. Like, you might have some sawdust that's right on your eyelash and it's about to get in your eye, and you don't know it, and somebody who loves you will say, hold still, let me get that off of your eyelash before it gets in your eye, and you go blind, right? Because they love you, they'll help you. But Jesus, He takes that picture and He goes way beyond that and says, some of you guys, you have a log hanging out of your own eye and you're all hung up about the speck that someone else has in his own eye, in his eye. What's wrong with you? And He calls them hypocrites. He might be calling you or me a hypocrite if we're the kind of person who ignores our own problems and focuses instead on helping everybody else with their problems. Is Jesus saying, never try to take the speck out of your brother's eye? Is that what He's saying? Isn't He very clearly telling you what you need to do before you can take the speck out of your brother's eye? Telling you very clearly what you need to do before you can help somebody else with their problem. You got to take care of yourself. I got to take care of myself, right? But that doesn't mean never help someone else with their problem. It doesn't mean that at all. So the speck lets you know that what Jesus is doing here is He's instructing His followers on how to judge. The right way to judge. And then He goes on. The verse 6 is a very strange verse. We'll spend some time there when we get there. Because He says, don't cast your pearls before swine. What is that? Don't take what is holy and give it to the dogs. He says, whoa, what is that? He actually says there are times when you should make judgments that say, you know what? It'd be better not to even talk about this right now. That's a judgment that you make, isn't it? That this person is not going to let me help him, and it's become very clear he's not going to let me help him, so let's be done with this conversation. Right? That's what Jesus is talking about. In other words, He's telling His disciples how to judge. In fact, He says a wonderful thing in the book of John, about judgment. He's speaking to the Pharisees, who are all the time, you know, telling everybody else about the specks in their eyes, when the Pharisees were the worst, that, in, as far as Jesus was concerned, about having a log hanging out of their own eye and not realizing it, and instead being focused on everyone else's problems. What Jesus said to them over in the book of John was, judge with right judgment. And do not merely look on outward appearances. In other words, He was even telling the people who had a problem with judging that there's a right way to judge. And he was telling them what was wrong with what they were doing. They were seeing the outward and not thinking about the inward. That was a big problem with the Pharisees. And Jesus went back to that over and over again. So what's Jesus doing here? He's telling them, his disciples back then, the crowd back then, and all of us, whether we're disciples of his or just checking things out, he's saying, judge only with right judgment. He's telling us how to do it. All right, here's a third pointer here, okay? This is just for me. I think it, somewhere along the way it made sense to me. You can think about this. Write it down and think about it. This is a pointer for me. I think it gets at the spirit of what's coming out of this passage of Scripture, but this is mostly me, and you just look at it and think about it, okay? And then if you decide that it's not just for me, it's actually God has spoken through me, then you make it a part of your life, okay? Judge words and deeds, not worth and destiny. I evaluate what people say and do. I don't evaluate what they're worth or where they're going. At least I don't come to any strong decisions about that. The only thing I know about what anybody's worth, even the most worthless man on the street, is he's made in the image of God and he's a priceless treasure. And that's not for me to call. That's just for me just to believe what God says. So I don't make any judgments about that. No matter how bad he is, no matter what he says or what he does, I still think he is a worthwhile person made in the image of God and precious. How about the mass murderer who chops people up into little pieces, hides them under his floorboard, and pulls out the rotting flesh from time to time to eat it? How about that guy? Is he still precious, made in the image of God, and worthy of your love and respect? Yes. Yes. Doesn't mean he's not worthy of the electric chair. Because he may well, probably he is. Hangman's noose, probably, yeah. I'm not against dealing with crime the way it needs to be dealt with. I'm for that. But all I'm saying is that when we set ourselves up as being the worthy ones and we evaluate someone else as being the less worthy ones, we are in deep, deep trouble and dire danger. You know what I'm saying? The truth is we're all made in the image of God. And we all have infinite value as made as God's image. All of us are fallen into sin and are stained and messed up with sin. All of us can be saved, washed clean by the blood of Jesus if we'll turn from our sin and trust in the Savior. That's anybody and everybody. So my job is not to judge what people are worth or what their destiny is. My job is to judge what they say and what they do. And for every time I choose to judge about something you say and you do, I should have already judged myself about the same issue about 10 times, right? Because that's what Jesus is saying also. That you're not ready to judge what someone else is saying or doing until you're paying attention to what you're saying and doing. So, for it's just been helpful to me to say, judge words and deeds, not worth and destiny. That sort of little rhyming, lilting thing actually makes sense to me, and it's something that I can remember. And I can remind myself of when I find myself judging people inappropriately. What, me? Me? Would I ever fall into judging people inappropriately? I have to fight against that thing every day, don't you? Every time you drive by the corner here at Hollabird and Dundalk Avenue, right? and you think to yourself, oftentimes, something negative. And you have to beat that back, and you have to remember what Jesus said about the right way to judge. Right? Because Jesus wasn't just talking to them back then. He was talking to us now. And he wasn't talking to them just about their junk. He's talking to us about our junk. You know? But we have problems and issues too. So judge words and deeds, not worth and destiny. Words and deeds, that's your job to judge. What people are worth or where they're going, that's God's job to judge. Leave that to Him. I hope that makes sense to you. All right. Here's another pointer, a fourth one. Judge with mercy and humility. That whole thing about spec. Have you ever had someone say to you, can you look at my eye and see if you see anything? It feels like something's hurting in there. Can you look in my eye? How many of you have had someone ask you to do that? Can I see your hands? Okay, but several of you, maybe about half of you, okay? I was expecting it to be more because that's happened to me many times, maybe because I'm a parent, maybe because I've got lots of kids, but I think it's mostly because I'm just a husband. And Monica will say, or one of the kids will say, but it's not just that, it's my friends will say, I feel like I've got something in my eye. Will you look at me? Will you see? Now, when you're looking at your friend to find the thing that's in his eye, are you doing that because you want to hurt him? Because you want to mock him? Ha! Look at what you have in your eye, you idiot! No, you're not. You're doing that because he's asking for help. Or if you tell your friend, hold still while I get this little fleck of sawdust off your eyelid before it gets in your eye. You saying that because you wanted to hurt the person? Control the person? You ever... Girls do this. I don't know if guys do this. But I've watched girls do this. Who are good friends, they'll go right in front of each other, and then the other one will go, okay, I'll go get that thing off my tooth. And then, well, they won't reach into each other's mouth, but they'll tell you where it is, and then you can get it off your tooth. Why? Because you don't want to go and smile at that wonderful-looking guy, and you got some piece of lettuce on your tooth or something, you know. I'm just telling you. In other words, when you love someone, you ask that person to help you. And when someone trusts you, they'll ask you to help them to know what's really going on with them. And that's one of the marks of a real friend, is that they can talk just plain old nuts and bolts with each other when they need to. You know? That's how I know someone loves me, when that person can help me see something about myself that I need to see about myself that I didn't really even know about myself at first. And maybe I don't even want to see about myself, and they may have to like put up with a little bit of junk from me when I'm yelling at them and saying, get out of my face, but if they're my friend, they'll stay in there and say, hey, hold on, Chris, slow down. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus is envisioning here a love that reaches out to try to help your brother. He's envisioning a kind of judgment that actually is an act of mercy and love. In fact, you should never exercise any kind of judgment that's not an act of mercy and love. The only person who has a right to exercise judgment that is simply an act of punishment and rejection is God. Right? For all the rest of us, when we judge, we are to judge as an act of mercy and love. Otherwise, not at all. Am I like sticking something into Jesus' words here, or am I kind of pulling out what he's saying and showing it to you? I hope you see this. I'm not trying to just make something up. This is, I think, what Jesus is saying, that it's an act of mercy to judge others, to judge them rightly. And he says you should always judge with humility, because you know what? You will be judged. And you will be. I will be. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, there to give answer for the deeds done while in the body, whether they be good or they be bad. You recognize those words, perhaps, because you know I'm just quoting from the Bible itself. We will be judged. Our deeds will be judged. We will be judged. So in light of that fact, be merciful and humble in the way you judge others. Mercy and humility. That's what Jesus is wanting from judgment, the way you and I exercise it. If we're his followers, then this is how we judge. The fifth one, judge only when you have to. This is that verse, sixth verse. He says, don't give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls in front of pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Now, when you're trying to interpret this or understand it, you have to ask yourself, well, what does he mean by holy stuff, and what does he mean by pearls? That's on one side. And then what does he mean by dogs and pigs? On the other side, clearly the holy stuff and the pearls are parallel. They mean the same thing. And the dogs and the pigs are parallel. They mean the same thing. Okay, so what's he talking about? The holy stuff is the truth that he's talking about right now. His truth, his teachings, himself. He is the pearl of great price. And all that he gives, all the pearls of wisdom that he gives, come from him. And so Jesus says there comes a point where you may say, you have offered what was holy. You have offered that holy pearl to that person, but that person doesn't see it, doesn't want it, and is showing himself or herself to be a dog or a pig. And you have to be discerning enough to come to the right judgment at that point and say, I'm not going to get anywhere with this person. And I may have to go away for a while. Now, I don't think that Jesus is saying that there are some people you should write off forever. I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's saying there comes a time, sometimes where I have to say, we're done with this conversation for now. You know? And every one of you have had those kind of conversations. And maybe you have been the swinish or the doggish person in that part of a conversation, because maybe you've been the one who's been acting out and acting bad. Don't look at me like that, like you never would be, because I've been that person. I've been that swine a time or two. All of us have fallen into that. And there comes a time when people simply have to say, time out, let's just back off. And I think that's what Jesus is saying right here. But that too itself is a judgment, isn't it? So he's giving us specific principles for how to judge and how to judge rightly. What he says here is, judge only when you have to, because sometimes it's not worth your while. In fact, he says sometimes not only will they mistreat the truth that you are trying to tell them, but they might mistreat you, you know? So sometimes it's just better to back off. That's the fifth pointer. And here's the sixth one. This is the big one that kind of runs underneath everything that Jesus says here. Final judgment is God's. After all, any judgment you ever make is tentative and temporary. His judgments are absolute and eternal. You might even want to write that down. Any judgment you make is tentative and temporary. Because you know what? You and I, we don't get it. But the judgment God makes God has the right to make, and He will make, judgments that are absolute and eternal. Jesus is in a position to tell us how to judge and how not to judge because He is the judge. Right? So listen to Him if you're a follower of Jesus. Listen to Him. So, here are six pointers. Number one, you can't not judge. Number two, judge only with right judgment. Number three, judge words and deeds, not worth or destiny. Number four, judge with mercy and humility. Number five, judge only when you have to. And number six, final judgment is God's, after all. You know, I was doing some research on this passage, and I ran across someone who made an observation that I had never really thought about before. It is one of those blindingly obvious things that when you look at it, you go, how come I never saw that before? What's wrong with me? Everybody should have seen that. And when I read this, you're going to say, well, yeah, okay, no duh, Chris. Everybody knows that. Maybe you'll say that, or maybe you might be like me, and you'll go, that's exactly right. And I never even realized that. We started off talking about how the number of people in the world will say, don't judge me. And they'll use this passage to say, don't judge me. Jesus says you shouldn't judge me. And this is what the person said about that. He said, this teaching of Jesus is widely misunderstood. A common reduction we often hear is, don't judge me. What's interesting is that this reduction is the inverse application of Jesus' lesson. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, inverse application, what are you talking about? He's using the language of like rhetoric and stuff, so he'll make it clear what he's saying. Okay, this is what he's saying. Jesus is not telling others not to judge us. He's telling us not to judge others. Let me say that again. Jesus is not telling others not to judge us. He's telling us not to judge others. Now, if that's still a little bit difficult to kind of wrap your head around, let me take it down and make it very personal, okay? Jesus is not, as far as for me, for what I am concerned with, Jesus' primary message is not Andy Andrews shouldn't judge Chris. Jesus' primary message, as far as I'm concerned, is Chris shouldn't judge Andy Andrews. Because as soon as I say, don't judge me, to somebody, Jesus says, don't judge me. Well, the primary person Jesus is talking to, as far as I'm concerned, is me. Before I should be concerned about anybody else and what Jesus might be saying to anybody else, Jesus' first message is me, right? It's me, Lord, that stands in need of prayer. It's me, Lord, that stands in need of correction. So for my brother Andy, when Jesus is speaking to Andy, Jesus' primary concern is not that Chris shouldn't judge Andy, at least as far as it relates to Andy. Jesus' primary message to Andy is, Andy, you shouldn't judge Chris or anybody else, except in these ways that I tell you to. Does that make sense, Andy? He's talking to you. And that's not just true for Andy or for me, that's true for each one of us. Before you concern yourself with what he might be saying to somebody else, Jesus is talking to you directly, individually. So that Carol Collison should primarily be concerned about what Jesus is saying to Carol Collison. Right? Dolly Willinger is primarily concerned about what is Jesus saying to Dolly Willinger, and what he's saying to each of us is, don't judge. He's not saying, don't let anyone judge you. He's not saying that. Do you get that? That whenever someone comes along and says, in response to the idea that something they're doing is wrong, or that God frowns on something that they have said, or something they have committed themselves to, and they say, you shouldn't judge me, Jesus says you shouldn't judge me, and their first concern is what Jesus is saying to me? Why is their first concern about what Jesus is saying to me, instead of having their first concern be what Jesus is saying to them? My job, my first concern should be, what is Jesus saying to me? And then later on, I can think about what Jesus might be saying to you. But first, what is Jesus saying to me? So in other words, when people's automatic first reaction is, Jesus wants you to stop judging me, that's not the primary message of this passage. The primary message of the passage is, Jesus wants me to stop judging you or others inappropriately. What many people are doing when they come to this passage of Scripture is they're turning it on its head. And they're using it to try to escape the conviction that the Spirit of God is bringing against them, that their behavior or their words or their whatever might be wrong. Why do I think that people's hearts are so slippery and tricky and deceptive? Because the Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's what I will do. You give me a passage like this, and I will turn it into something Jesus is saying to you, when I should be primarily concerned about what Jesus is saying to me. And you might do the same thing. Turn it into something Jesus is saying to everybody else, when Jesus' first concern, as far as you are concerned, Jesus' first meaning is for you. Each one of us stands alone, individual, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our judge. And we're not ready to talk to someone else or even to think about someone else until we're hearing Jesus for ourselves, each one of us. So don't you fall into the trap of saying, Jesus wants you not to judge me, as a way of escaping what someone might be saying to you. Now, it may be that someone is saying something to you that is not God's word or God's will, and you need to say, back off, time out, God thinks this about, and you said that, and so I'm listening to God, not you. You might well need to think that way and respond that way to someone. But don't use this passage as a tool to help you avoid accountability or honesty with yourself by trying to flip it around and make it someone else's problem. You hear what Jesus has to say to you. I need to hear what Jesus has to say to me. Each one of us does. We desperately need that. Because the truth is, every human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And every one of us is lost without Jesus. And every one of us needs to listen to Him, because every one of us needs to trust Him. Trust Him. Believe in Him. And I don't just mean believe in Him to get you out of hell and get you into heaven. I mean, believe in Him to get the hell out of you and heaven into you. Does that make sense? Trust Him to change your life. And trust Him to change your destiny. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That's the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us Your Word. Thank you for your Son speaking to us so plainly and so bluntly. Thank you for speaking to me. I don't deserve to be spoken to by you. You should ignore me, or actually you should judge me, which means you should cast me out of your presence and have nothing to do with me ever again. And if it were up to how I've lived and who I've been, that's exactly what happened to me. But how I thank you that it's not up to what I have done. It's all about what Jesus has done. The life that he lived and the death that he died and the resurrection that he experienced in glory and power to save me and to save each one of us. So that now we can listen to him with our hearts and our ears wide open. So if there's somebody in this room who does not yet know Jesus in that personal, real, saving way, who does not yet have Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life and their heart, can you help that person to come to Jesus right now? I don't just mean if they haven't ever been down the aisle. I was down the aisle like zillions of times before I ever got saved. I mean, if they never truly repented of their sin and put their trust in the Savior, never yet in their life, then help them to do it right now. Help them to realize that right now. Cut through all of that self-deception, all of that religion, or all of that rebellion, whatever it is, and help them to come to Jesus right now in repentant faith. And for those of us who do know Jesus and who still struggle with judging, which I guess is all of us, help us to hear what Jesus says. Help us to keep ourselves squarely in the crosshairs of Jesus' scope and sight that he's aiming at us, and help us to hear what he has to say, apply it to our lives, and change our lives to come into conformity with it, because we trust our Lord that he has our best in mind, and we love our Lord and we want to follow our Lord. So help us to do it right now. And if there's someone here who needs to make one of those decisions openly and publicly by coming here to the front as we stand and sing in just a moment, then you help that person to do it. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.